Welcome to another edition of the Feral and Fabulous podcast. I am super excited to introduce our guest for today. And before we get started, I'm going to do a toast with these lovely ladies who I have as our guests for today. If everybody wants to get, and of course we include the producers in this, so everybody hold their glass up. I'm going to toast to, and again, I'm going to mention the producers first. We've got Matt Stigliano at the mic and the helm, Katie Rodriguez also assisting with this production, and then the one and only Sherry Best and Melissa Ekstrom, and they are with Lux Staging. So cheers, everybody.
Cheers. All right.
I will do a little plug for Grand Patron by my favorite tequila in the world. Literally, it is my favorite tequila in the world.
It's good.
Like
good.
So smooth. It's like, you know, butter. Mm-hmm. So now we can have some coffee and talk. So tell me, you guys, what's going on at Lux Staging? And how did you even get to the point you decided you wanted to do a staging company? I mean, what led you to that?
I can start. I worked for HEB for 31 years, and I was in product development and got to travel the world with a fabulous company developing product. And I decided to retire this last March, and my in-laws were moving out of their home at Cordillera Ranch. And so they had lived there for 26 years, so we went in and we redid their home and bought some furniture to stage it. And from there, my husband said there's a gap in the San Antonio market. And it's a gap where the personalization and staging had really been missing or has gone by the wayside. And so he had a house that he wanted to stage. And so we moved. We did a second house. And I called Melissa and said, hey, do we think we want to do something like this? We've been talking about things for a lot of years, and product and color, trend, all of the things is something I just love and miss. And so that's how we got started.
That's cool. And I have to mention also, obviously, her husband is Kevin Best, who I have known both. Actually, I've known Kevin and Sherry for, I don't even know how many years, a long time. But Kevin is an amazing real estate agent in this business. And we go back a long way. So it's super cool to reconnect. And this is your partner in crime.
Yes.
So how did that kind of connect with you?
Yeah, she was like, I've got this house and I kind of need some help. Are you interested? And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll come do this one. I was headed out of town on vacation the next day.
Of course, that's always course. When these calls come in.
Of course, but it was really fun. We had like a lot of fun doing it. I was like, this is kind of great. So while I was on vacation, she reached out again and was like, what do you think? We've got another house to do when you get back, if you're interested. And I said, yeah, I'm in.
Cool.
I'm totally interested.
Cool. And yeah. How did you guys connect? Like, how do you know each other?
Yeah, so Sherry and I lived in San Antonio previously. She obviously is from this area. We moved here back in 2013, and our kids were friends, and so we got to know each other through them and mutual friends. And that was kind of that. We moved away. We kept in touch. Obviously, our kids kept in touch. We moved away for a few years. And all the while, you know, we were both decorating new houses, buying new property, and always bouncing stuff off of each other. Like, what do you think?
Cool.
We have very similar design style and design taste.
So you guys have already kind of been vibing with that stuff anyway
already. For a lot of years.
Yeah.
Yes. So this was just kind of a way to put all those pieces together.
No, that's super, super cool.
The best part of that story, hold on, she sent her kids down to visit, and her two older kids, and we went to the rodeo, we went to the ranch, we did all the things
they showed
that
them a great time.
Absolutely loved. And so the kids went back to Virginia and said, we have to move back to Texas. So that's the best part.
That is truly how we ended up back here.
That is so crazy. Mm-hmm. I love that story. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just shows you how much you connect on so many levels.
Yes.
For you to basically leave another state and come back here, you know, with your whole family.
Yes.
And I will say, fun fact, we just realized yesterday, we had no idea, because we've actually been working together for a little bit, that her daughter and my granddaughter, who I've talked about before, Vivian, they are good friends. And I had no idea until we were coming.
We didn't put any of the pieces together until yesterday.
We did not put the pieces together until yesterday. I was like, oh my gosh. So what a cool small world.
Yes.
But I, like I always say, it's a small world, but I hate to paint it.
It is. Exactly. It is.
But definitely, I mean, just a cool way you guys came together. So tell me, what's going on in the whole kind of staging design world right now? Like what's really hot? What are you seeing a lot of? What's going away? All that kind of stuff. I'm so fascinated by all of it.
Mm-hmm. I think some of the new colors are what makes it really fun for staging and for us to be able to incorporate those. We're seeing a lot of like jewel tones and just some really rich colors coming out, which obviously make a neutral palette pop and are beautiful to incorporate. Yeah. So you're seeing a lot of that like dark, deep, like reds and browns. There's some like teal-ish colors coming out.
Interesting. Interesting.
When you look at trends just around Texas, specifically San Antonio, we usually start tracking trend overseas at Ambiente, with that's in Germany.
Oh, really?
And
that's fascinating. Yeah, I didn't know that.
So that it's the largest trend show, largest home show. So it has all the different aspects of home. And trend usually travels from Ambiente to California, or to New York, then California, and then Texas. So we're usually a few years behind others. Now with social media, that has sped up a whole lot. And so with the speed of social media, we're having to be a little bit quicker with it. But some trends that you see don't ever make it down to San Antonio because they don't resonate with our specific clients here. Mm-hmm. So you just have to know the client, know what they're after. If they're trend forward, you show them some of the newer trend boards or things that are coming if they want to be ahead of it.
Yeah.
And then others are still, you know, a few years behind or even back in a long time ago that we're able to tie into. So that, again, that personalization and knowing your client and what's happening is really critical.
Yeah, no, it really is. And it's so funny because I had no idea that some trends actually never made it here.
Yeah, this is
I thought we were always
market.
Like behind. I thought we were lagging, but I didn't realize that we just sometimes we don't get stuff.
Yeah. Well, and it's only because the customer doesn't resonate with it. So there are times that we can sell things in, previous life, we could sell things in a Dallas or a Houston that we couldn't sell in a San Antonio market.
Got it.
So in the staging world, it's the same thing. When you walk into people's homes, if you go to Austin, you see a lot more fashion forward homes. In some areas, and in San Antonio, you do have those areas, those pockets that have that high fashion forward, but you have to be in tune to what those trends are and what that client is really looking for.
Yeah, that's a really good point. That's a really good point. What is, I don't think I even know this, what is the color of the year? Do you know off the top of your head?
Pantone has not released their color of the year yet. So we're still waiting on 2026. Yep. 2025 is the mocha.
Oh, is it? Yes. Okay, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. And the way the color of the year works is each different company has their color of the year, but they all complement each other.
Okay.
So the mocha that she's speaking of, if you go to a Benjamin Moore compared to a Sherwin-Williams, it's the same dark mocha type color, but it might be called something a little different.
Okay.
Or it's a different undertone. So the mochas are the undertones this year. In the years past, black has really been a big thing, but over the past 3 years, black is turning into more brown undertones and people are going a little more natural.
Okay.
And the home is natural, right? You set your basics as natural and then you add your trend with the pop of color or whatever that customer is looking for.
Okay, cool.
I think right now Sherwin-Williams has said their color is like a khaki color, which
khaki
seems pretty basic for a color of the year. They obviously have released like entire, you know, all of them, but and they have more of like the jewel tones in there, and then they'll take like a dulled version of that and kind of incorporate that too. So
okay, cool.
Pantone has released, they've released palettes, but they haven't released an official color yet.
So the suspicion is that it will be a jewel, majestic teal is what they're saying for next year.
Really, that's what I was going to ask you. Do you think it's going to go to a teal?
So the colors that you're seeing right now are super rich greens and the dark browns and those. Mm-hmm. And now they're starting to add in a little more pop of color. You're seeing a lot of caramel this fall and just really natural, deep, deep colors.
Okay, cool.
Beautiful for design.
Yeah, so, no, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. What would you say in general in San Antonio and obviously the surrounding areas, whether it be New Braunfels, Burney, you know, any of those little satellite cities that mm-hmm. are just outside, what would you say is the most popular color, or not color, maybe style of a home?
I'd say transitional. Between transitional is really it. So traditional, you see in a lot of your older homes and older customers, but transitional is more of what we're doing. And that's simply a home that's pretty straight lines, okay. Very basic, clean look and feel. And then you add in just a little few modern pops to it that are easy to change.
Yeah.
Add to that.
A lot of white. Definitely a lot of white in those homes. White walls, you know, white furniture. With obviously the pops of color.
Do you think San Antonio will ever embrace a more contemporary style?
I think there's pockets of San Antonio that will. Okay. I absolutely do. And even you look at the new Pecan Springs out mm-hmm. in Burney, you're seeing areas out there that are super modern homes.
And really?
I think they're bringing some of that. You're seeing them in pockets for sure.
Really? Mm-hmm. Okay. Like what are some of the neighborhoods that you see more contemporary homes in?
Alamo Heights is a little, some pockets of Alamo Heights are fashion forward. Really, when you have an older home that people are tearing down and redoing, they try to go, when you're building a home, you want to be a little ahead of trend. So that way, when you sell it, you're not so far behind trend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So when somebody's completely redoing a home or building a new home, they're trying to be a little more fashion forward.
Okay.
Chavano Park.
Yes.
Interesting.
Cordillera. Yep, we're seeing a lot in Cordillera, several in Dominion have come up.
Yeah, I have I have noticed that about Dominion for sure. I feel like I would see more contemporary stuff in Dominion than I would other places. Mm-hmm. But just in general, I would agree just from what I've seen that transitional tends to be probably the most popular, which I'm super happy that we got to the traditional. I mean, they got away from the uber traditional, like typical hill country home, and we're moving a little bit more transitional so that it's not just so old school, you know? So I've enjoyed that aspect of it.
You have to be careful, though, that the outside of the home doesn't look completely traditional, built 30, 40 years ago, old rock. And the flooring is Satillo tile, things of that nature.
That is
and then
a great
go
point.
In with a super modern look or even a transitional look. That's a little dangerous because it doesn't match.
Yeah, that's a great point. What do you tell people when they see these things on HGTV or they're looking at the magazines and they're like, oh my gosh, I want to have this in my house. But what they want, they've given you pictures of a New York loft, which is a really cool, maybe industrial kind of look.
Mm-hmm.
But yet the outside of their home is a Cape
Cod-ish
brick. Maybe they bought it years ago. Maybe it's an Inwood or something like that. What do you tell them if they're wanting something on the inside that doesn't match, when the carpet doesn't match the drapes, what do you tell them?
I think there's a big difference between design and staging. I think in terms of design, if that's their home and they're the ones living in it, it needs to be what they love and what they enjoy, right? So in that sense, we're going to encourage them to find something that's their style, right?
And is there things that you can advise them on the outside that will help them to kind of merge the two?
Yeah, I mean, you can paint exterior. You can, you know, change a few things.
Yeah.
Usually the bones of the outside of the house are pretty set.
Absolutely.
But again, if it's their home and they're, you know, their forever home, or I don't say that word. I don't use that word. We've moved so many times. That word is really not in my vocabulary, but.
Yes.
It really is. It's up to them. As far as staging, We're really going to try to match the style of the house.
Yeah.
Because a buyer is attracted to the home.
Absolutely.
And usually one of the first pictures they see are the exterior of the home.
Yeah.
And it matches the neighborhood for the most part.
Right.
So in terms of staging, we're always going to encourage them to stay within their lines there.
But even a 30-year-old hill country house, you put some alabaster white paint on the outside and you completely change the look.
Yes, that's a great point. To me, there's a lot that could be done with a can of paint.
Absolutely.
Both interior and exterior,
outside,
right?
Absolutely.
No, I totally agree with you. And usually it's kind of a cost-effective way to change things quite a bit. I'm not saying it's cheap to paint, but it is one of the less expensive changes that you can make, right, in terms of changing things without getting into structural moving and all that kind of stuff, or new cabinets, which start getting into really, really big money.
Sure.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. Getting more into the staging element of things, what would you say is one of the biggest mistakes that you guys see when people are going to get their house ready to stage, you know, to get it ready for the market? Like, what are some of the things you think people just maybe have a misconception of, or they do that you're like, oh, don't do that, you know?
Go ahead.
Start, sorry. No. We have a lot to say on this topic. The biggest thing is clutter and just leaving too much stuff on display.
Yes.
You want to remove personal items. Yes. You want to remove religious items. Yes. You want to remove political items.
Yes.
You don't want that client to come and see your stuff of any kind. Anything that is super interesting, take it away.
You need to hide the bodies well.
Right. Yes. And it's because you want to see the home. You're selling the home, not the furniture in the home. Now, the furniture is also a great distraction sometimes if there is a step or there's not a division properly, things that the client might not realize, so they can envision what it would look like when their furniture is in there.
True.
So it has to be there to help see it come to life.
Yeah.
But you can't overdo it. And when we do consulting for clients to just, it's decluttering. And usually when we go back for the second time, we're still pulling a little bit more off just so it's not so busy for the clients coming in.
Less is more.
I love that. I say that all the time just because it's such a true statement, just in general.
You know? And we found too, like there are, you know, some people that are just completely in love with a certain piece or a certain something in their home. And then you're like, well, not everybody is going to have the same feelings about that. Right. Mm-hmm. Or they want to show off a certain thing. And you're like, well, that doesn't really appeal to the average buyer. So.
Yeah. And that's the hardest part is explaining to clients that are selling their home that they need to change something that they love.
Mm-hmm. I think deer heads is probably the number one thing that we see where people have like all of this. Mm-hmm.
They love their deer heads.
Yes.
Which is great.
And how about the Baccarat crystal collections? Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of those over the years where they have the beautiful, expensive, high-end cases and they have all the Baccarat, however you say it.
Yeah.
You can tell I obviously collect a lot of it. But what do you tell them to do with that?
We tell them, you're packing up anyway. If we can, obviously there's sometimes they're not ready to move and they anticipate the house being on the market for a long time and they don't want to put their taxidermy in a box or however they're going to ship it, or they don't know where they're taking it. So there are some times where we can't do anything about it and we just have to kind of work with it, and it works out fine. It's just not ideal. So
and the biggest question to the agent when we first start this work is who is your potential buyer? Because when we understand, is it a millennial, is it a family, is it an older couple, then we want to look at that home and say, okay, how we need to make sure we're appealing to that buyer who you're trying to attract to purchase this home.
Yeah.
And what they're thinking from a trend perspective.
Yeah. No. Absolutely.
And that goes as far as like what we stage in each room.
Absolutely.
You know, does it work better as an office? Are you trying to attract a business
That's
professional that needs a work at home office?
Yeah.
Or would it be better as a living room or
a nursery
or right?
Yeah. Yeah. So you also basically go room by room and look at the purpose. What should the purpose be of this room to make it the most sellable?
Right. And that goes back to our personalization, right? We're trying to bring that back and have that communication with the agents. They're the ones that have to sell the house. So what do they want to see? We want to meet their needs.
Right.
And really make their job easier in the long run.
And what are the concerns from the client and the agent? So I have an example of a house that we did in Dominion that there was a room that had been used as an office, but there were only two other bedrooms in the home. And they needed to sell the home as a three-bedroom home. Well, this room was very hard to envision being a bedroom because it had office furniture in it.
Yes.
So we turned it into a real bedroom so it's visible. And the agent and the owner were like, wow, this is... They wouldn't have envisioned it that way.
Right.
So a lot of clients would have had a hard time seeing that. So
it
comes down to what's the purpose? How are you listing this? Is this a bonus room or is this truly a bedroom? And can that client envision that that's going to be a bedroom? Just one of example of many.
Right. And it's probably super helpful, I would think, to be able to understand kind of like what is their goal in the sale? Like what's the price point?
Yes.
And then you guys are experienced enough to know, okay, what at this price point should this space be used for? What would be the most common way that a buyer coming along would want to see this space? And again, you're not going to hit 100% of the time, but you're going to statistically know what the odds are of a buyer wanting that room to be used a certain way, which is probably different potentially than how the current seller was using it. At least that's been my experience over the years that I think a lot of times the amount of space in the home is really great, but maybe the way the current owner is utilizing it, although good for them, is not necessarily what's on trend and what I think the new buyer is going to want to see, you know, when
exactly.
they buy it.
Exactly.
Which kind of leads me to my next thing that I wanted to ask you guys about, which is, why is it so important to stage right now? Like, why? Because I feel like staging is so critical these days. Why is that?
So I'll just start with the market is soft. High interest rates. It is. It's really hard to sell houses today.
Yep.
And so as the client is going from home to home and they're looking at homes, they look online and you can see virtual staging and it looks great. But I continuously hear agents say, I've got it virtually staged online, so I'm getting a ton of showings. And the client walks into the home and it doesn't look like it did online. And it's because they can't envision it when they walk in that home. So it's a waste of the client's time. It's a waste of the agent's time and a waste of the owner's time a lot of times if those homes aren't staged. So now more than ever, when a market is like it is today, allowing that customer or that client to be able to walk in that front door and envision themselves in that home just helps your days on market.
Yeah, that's a great point, especially now, like you said. What kind of examples can you guys give me of stagings that you've done recently where you felt like it really made such a huge difference? Like the agent got back to you and said, oh my gosh, it made all the difference in the world by doing whatever it was that you did. I'm curious to hear some examples of that.
Mm-hmm. We had a home that had previously been a rental and they were intending to sell the rental. So it had a like variation of furniture in there. It was never theirs. They never
kind of a hodgepodge.
Exactly. And it was kind of hard to see the vision. It was the agent had expressed to us that this was a really difficult home to sell. And we said, well, let us take a look at it and see, you know, what can we do? And so we kind of went in there and it took a minute to kind of like get our bearings and be like, come up with a vision for the home. We went very mid-century modern, which is not usually our vibe, but it was.
You know, it's mine.
And it was really fun.
Yes.
And it turned out beautifully. Mm-hmm. I mean, the agent came back and couldn't thank us enough and was like, you really, you know, knocked this out of the park for me. And I really just, I couldn't see it until
I
now can envision exactly somebody living here and it all kind of coming together. I joke that whoever wants to buy that home is going to want all of our stuff because it just looks great.
That's cool. which actually brings me to my next question, which is what kind of separates you guys to the other staging companies? And then if somebody falls in love with the house that you guys have staged, are you willing to sell that furniture? Because you know that's happened and that's going to happen in the future. So
go ahead.
So what sets us apart, I'm going to say personalization again. So we are continuously talking to the agent and the homeowner, just making sure we understand, again, who the client is, who they're trying to sell to or attract to. So the mid-century home that she's speaking of, we didn't have all the pieces, but we had other pieces in storage. And so we didn't just use the pieces that we had. We went and purchased the right items for that space.
That's awesome.
Just to make sure that it really hit that customer. So I feel like we're really listening. We're spending the time. We're working on just building relationships and doing what we say we're going to do. And just make sure that the clients are happy through and through the process. And if they don't like something we've done, we're happy to redo it or we're happy to have a conversation on the why. But really, we have those conversations up front and say,
awesome.
Here's what we're thinking. Here's the vision. And we usually take that information from there and make sure that works.
Oh, I love that. I love all that, hearing the personalization, because I feel like in this day and age, everything is so impersonal. It's like you call a company and they have a robot answering and then they put you on hold and then they say, our menu has changed, so please listen to the following options, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like everything has gotten so impersonalized that it is so nice when you add that personal touch with a client so that they feel like they're being seen and heard, which is also one of the things I wanted to ask you. I know this is a kind of a tricky thing in staging. Do you allow the homeowner to be there when you are staging?
We do.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome.
We don't mind them being there. We don't mind the feedback. Now, we do tell them that this item may be here now, and in 3 hours, it may be somewhere else in the home.
Understand.
Because it's not going to be finished until the entire home is done, and we might move it two or three times to make sure that it really fits in with everything
and
else.
And some people probably aren't even living in the home anymore anyway. Correct. When you're Correct. Staging. Right. So, but it sounds like you guys are totally good with helping somebody that's currently living in the yes. home, or if the home has been vacated okay. and it's absolutely empty. So yes. either way, you're good with that.
And yes. we're new in the space. We are brand new in the space. And our first, the first thing we did is started meeting with, like yourself, meeting with agents and asking, what do you need from home staging? What do you need for design? And educating us and just asking the questions. So yeah. we have to gain the trust of agents. And we have agents that want to pop in on our staging all the time. And we expect that as long as we're growing and we're getting to meet new people. And they come in, we walk the house, we ask, how do you think things are? So, you know, would you like something changed? How are you feeling?
Cool.
Just to make sure that they're Love it. On the same page with us.
Yeah, working off of feedback from right. the clients and mm-hmm. everything.
And if you don't get that, they may say, yes, I love it, and then never hire you again. So I would rather somebody say, I don't love what y'all did here,
and this is why, or whatever. Right.
And let it give us the opportunity to fix it.
Yeah, right. No, I love that. That's
and we so are cool. building a team. Mm-hmm. I mean, ideally, you know, we do want to continue to grow, but I think we both agree that at the end of the day, like, the personalization needs to stay there, and we are both very focused on maintaining those relationships. So while we may have other people, you know, making a bed or sure. fluffing pillows sure. or folding towels, you know, Sherry
it's
and
being
I are
done
both
under your direction
for sure. And the training is happening, and we're making sure that it meets our expectations. Where we don't show up and be like, "Oh, I would never have, you know, signed off on that."
Whatever,
so,
yeah,
exactly.
So, what are your long term goals? What are you thinking long term?
You go ahead.
So I think our goal,
flip a coin.
As we're learning from agents, just what they are liking and how it's looking, we don't want to get so big that we lose that personalization aspect, and that we can't. We want to ensure that any employee that we hire is able to give that same exact service. We are building a warehouse. Out Blanco Road.
Oh, so how exciting.
We will have a warehouse that we're able to store all of our furniture. So we are expecting growth, and we're seeing growth from all over the city. And we've hired our second employee just to help us. And they just work with us side by side. And that's really nice. And we'll have somebody then start helping us in the warehouse. We want to put in like a tagging system so we know where all of the product is. Awesome. Put in some inventory systems with cost and retail so we kind of can understand if the client wants to purchase an item, what is our cost? How long have we had it? Where do we purchase it from? What do we pay for it? All of those types of things so we can make yeah. an educated decision on selling that product. Or is it unique? Is it something we can't get again?
Yeah.
And that may be, if you get something that you can't ever get again, it might be a piece that we're not quite ready to part with.
Yes.
But most of the time, you want to keep turning inventory. You want to keep mm-hmm. getting fresh, new furniture.
I love that.
Accessories, all of it, because you see things change so often.
Yes.
If you walk into, I'll just use a Pottery Barn, a CB2, a Crate, every time you're in that store, things are usually moved around. And they do that because it keeps the interest in the customer and that keeps them coming back, and they're seeing something fresh and new every time they're in the store.
Yeah.
So we have to do the same thing with our goods. We don't just want to use product that's not currently in date.
And I've got to give you guys a personal plug just because I've seen what you have done for many of my personal listings that I am, you know, actively working on. But not only that, I feel like you guys were so kind and generous with your time to take me up to Austin and look at Four Hands in person. I mean, this, I think I told you, Four Hands has always been this mysterious kind of like entity that existed out there, but I've never actually been to Four Hands. Mm-hmm. I just have heard of it, and I bought many things over the years mm-hmm. from Four Hands, but didn't really know what that experience was like. And I'll give you a perfect example of that is one of the things he said, oh, I think you'd love these chairs. And you showed me a picture of it. And I'm like, no, I really don't love those chairs. In fact, I'm kind of terrified of those chairs. But I liked the vibe. I wanted to like it, but yet.
You liked the color.
I did. That's
in
that's
picture.
True.
In, you didn't see in it in
picture,
person. Yep.
I did like the color. But I just like, you know, but yet when I saw it in person, I was obsessed. And mm-hmm. now it's like my favorite thing. Mm-hmm. And so I went from thinking, like I liked it, but to, oh my gosh, it's fabulous. Mm-hmm. But again, it's kind of what you're talking about. It's that personalization that you guys offer, mm-hmm. that you're listening to what someone is saying and you're like, okay, I gotcha. You don't think you like it? I understand and appreciate that. Maybe it was just not your style or whatever.
Yeah.
But yet when
But I'm so glad it is.
Yes. But you didn't know. Who knew?
Right.
But again, to me, it was listening and then presenting options that it's like, oh, okay. It is actually fabulous.
I think it's also educating agents on what the process is and what it really takes.
Yes.
And building that trust.
Exactly.
Because I bet I could pick out another chair for you and you wouldn't question me quite as much.
No.
Right?
No. You know what? You're 100% right. You are 100% right. Without a doubt.
Yep.
Now I feel like absolutely, if I said, hey, I need you to go stage this property and this is kind of the vibe I'm going for.
Right.
I feel like now you'd be like, okay, I got that. I know what she's thinking.
Right.
So I do understand that. And I think that's such an important piece of what you guys do, which is super cool.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Love it. Well, super now we're going to get to the really fun part of the podcast, which is if you guys will grab, you'll have to carefully grab them. Let me know if you need another shot of tequila, because definitely we've always got a plentiful supply, and I'm going to give you guys, just a topic, a word. And then one of the things I love about, one of the reasons we actually named the podcast Feral and Fabulous is because the thing about feral and fabulous is they can have different meanings within different contexts. You know, and so obviously feral can be like feral, like they're wild, weird, and not a good way. But then you can also have somebody that is feral, Matthew McConaughey, in a good way. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I just feel like that's the kind of fun thing about it. And fabulous can be obviously fabulous, but it can always be like fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
Not so fabulous, right?
Right.
So anyway, so I will leave it to you as to which way you want to interpret this.
Okay.
And obviously, it'll be interesting to see what each of you think on these same topics. You've got mail. You know what? I could have guessed that. I could have guessed that. Okay, so tell me, why did you say, you said fabulous. You obviously love the movie.
I do. I think it's a classic.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
I knew you were talking about the movie, but I just had to get in my inbox.
Okay, I appreciate that. Because again, it's all interpretation
of
what was said. So you can interpret it as the movie, or you can interpret it as if you're looking at your inbox and it's full of mail all the time, it's a little feral.
And I'm not a movie watcher, but I have seen that movie.
Okay, good. I think most people have, not 100%, but definitely I've heard most. Okay, this I'm going to be really interested to see what you guys say on, because it kind of has a crossover into staging as well as just everyday living. Wind chimes.
Okay. And I'll explain.
Yes, please. I'm very interested.
Them.
Okay.
I don't love them, but my sister passed away a few years ago and someone gave me a wind chime and I couldn't not hang it up. So I do have that. I do have it, but
I get it.
In other places, I'm not a fan.
I understand.
I love it. We have a place down in Three Rivers and it's just like a super relaxing acreage. And to have a wind chime out there blowing in the wind while you're relaxing is just one of my favorites. Also given to me after a death of a loved one. So it was such a fabulous gift and just something that just continuously reminds you.
I love that. Yes.
And it helps you. It just helps relax. And
no, I totally get it. Well, this is so cool because we're two for two and you both had different answers.
We do.
For each one. I love that.
That's why we work so well together.
No, it's literally showing the audience in live time why you guys are a perfect fit to be partners in this business, because you have such similar but yet unique points of view on every topic. So okay. Cold pizza. Ah! I love it. This is so crazy. And of course, by the way, the guests never know what they're going to be. They have no idea what they're going to get hit with on these. So there's no pre-planning whatsoever on these feral and fabulous things.
Day-old pizza, but it's got to be hot.
You got to eat it. You
got to
reheat it.
I can't eat cold pizza.
I love cold pizza for breakfast with some ketchup on it.
No, I am
delicious.
I love cold pizza.
Me too.
Love it. In fact, I might even on any given day prefer it. Yes. So that's so interesting.
And it's a reason to be able to have pizza for breakfast.
Absolutely. Exactly. There's
you can't
extra.
Have it hot for breakfast because that doesn't work.
Right? I get it. And I'm kind of the same way. It's kind of like I ordered extra. I was good and I didn't have it too much last night, although I probably did. But I now can have it for breakfast. And
you order an extra pizza for breakfast?
Oh, I would order extra pizza always. Let me put this to Matt and Katie.
Okay.
Do I have a problem with ordering extra food on any occasion?
Not at all.
It's that interpretation, right?
I live alone, and if I go over to her house for anything, she sends me home. She's like, "Oh, take these 30 cupcakes." I'm like, "Kim, I live alone. What am I going to do with them all?"
I just experienced that. Three days of cookies.
She tried to pawn off her cookies on us. Yes.
My kids love them.
I'm not going to lie.
If there's sugar involved, no. she's known as a very big sugar pusher.
My family has nicknamed me the sugar pusher. And apparently, I have a problem with pushing sugar onto other people. And not because I'm trying to purposely be unhealthy. I just love sugar so much that I want other people to enjoy it and like it as much as I do. So, and then I know myself, I don't have the willpower to resist it if it's in my home. So I have to spread the joy, you know, okay, make sure everybody has a little sugar in their life.
Pizza.
So anyway, very, very interesting. Okay. Taking a bath.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
Oh my God. This is the most crazy thing. This is crazy. You guys have been opposite in every single question. I don't think this has ever happened before. This
I know.
Is insane.
Funny. But this is funny because I do wind down at night. Like, I have no problem putting my phone down, watching TV, relaxing. And you are like, go, 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 go. So the fact that you take time to take a bath is...
That's my
downtime.
But
she does. And always has.
I love it.
A glass of wine, a nice bath, I have a TV, and
say,
my phone.
Oh, my God.
Like, I love it.
She is my twin.
Yeah.
No, literally, you're my sister from another mister. I don't know what the deal is. I literally take a bath every night of my life, and I have a TV, and I literally, I have watched, this is embarrassing to admit, but my family would out me on this, I watch movies in the bathtub, like from start
to finish. You get
wrinkled,
you get a little wrinkled in your fingers.
Oh, I'm a prune.
It's the best.
No, I literally will watch, and I might even watch 3 episodes of The Summer I Turned Pretty in the bathtub in a row. I
you have
mean,
to turn on more
out.
Hot water to get
I do.
It, keep it warm.
I continue. Mm-hmm. I continuously let the hot water come in. So it's like, you know, and I know the trend is showers, like showers only now, but I'm not that gal. You know, give me a good
I
hot
could
bath.
I can have a big old shower and I don't need
yeah,
a tub.
Exactly. Exactly. No, because I feel like most people are like one or the other. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Usually they either love a bath or they're like, ugh, you know, which I get. I totally get. Okay. Windows and closets. Oh, okay. Okay. Same. I feel the same. Yeah. Both of you guys said feral. Okay, so tell me.
It takes up wall space.
Yes.
First
totally.
Of all.
Totally.
And most people get dressed in their closet.
Yes.
And now you've got a window. So you're either going to cover it up, which what's the purpose?
Right. Exactly.
I've had a few houses where we had like small transom windows at the top of the closet, and I would have preferred to put a rod there to put more clothes on.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So the window didn't do me any good,
right.
Although you couldn't see out of it.
Right.
Definitely if you could see out of it, the answer would be no. But natural light, you could argue that if you're not a huge, if you don't have too many
I get
things
what,
for your
I
closet.
I get that. But I also feel like having sold many houses that had windows and closets, I personally right now have a window in my closet, which is high up and it's a transom, which I did put a shade on it, you know, because why would I want that open? Like you said, I get dressed in my closet anyway. But what I've noticed is it fades the interior because even if it's a transom window, the sun coming in, it will fade that particular, you know, area. Mm-hmm. And if you've got clothing that is sitting there. I have literally seen people where you can tell they haven't worn something in like forever because you can literally see where the sun has hit it in the same angle. And you've got a missing streak of color across several pieces of clothing that are hanging in a closet. Maybe somebody's lived there 20 years and maybe they literally have just let the sun in every day and not done anything. So to me, I feel like a good lighting system in a closet is great. But to bring in the natural light, in my opinion, is not necessary.
I always find that it's because of an architectural need. It works on the outside of the house. Yep. It does not work on the inside.
Nope. That's a great point. I hadn't thought about that, but you're right. Sometimes I see from just the mm-hmm. exterior look, you mm-hmm. probably have to have a window to make it match or make it work mm-hmm. for the, you know, elevation of mm-hmm. the property. So cool. Okay. Well, we're all in agreement on that one. Okay. Linen chairs. Okay. Tell me.
I mean, my kids aren't young, but they're young enough and they have friends over and I don't want to have to clean that. I'd take a leather chair over linen any day of the week.
I have linen at my breakfast table and I love it. And I just, if it gets dirty, I just spray it and scrub it a little bit. I think linen is beautiful and light. It's not as heavy. I don't mind a linen chair at all.
I love it. I love it. Oh my gosh. Well, that concludes the feral and fabulous part of this podcast. So thank you guys so much for coming in. I have been, like I said, just overjoyed that I got to have you as guests and looking forward for you guys to continue on in this business and grow and make it big. And I can't wait to be a part of that. And like I said, I'm looking forward to our next stagings together and working together in the future.
Thank you so much, Kim, for having us.
Thank you guys. Keep on keeping on. I'll see you guys next episode. Take care.